With you, let's turn to the book of John, chapter 17. The book of John, chapter 17. And I want to remind us, as followers of Jesus Christ, as disciples in the kingdom of God, I want to remind us that it is an honor to open up God's word and to study it. I want us to remind us that we should not take this word lightly. It is an honor to study God's word. And I want to remind us that we open up God's word to submit to it. We open up God's word to submit to it. We don't open up God's word just to feel good. God is not in the feel good business. We open up God's word to submit to it. And sometimes it's hard, but God gives us his Holy Spirit to obey. And I'm grateful. I just came from our Long Beach campus. It was filled up. I came from our Carson campus at 9 a.m. It was filled up. We need new buildings for our Long Beach campus and our Carson campus. We need bigger buildings. God is sending more and more people to Chapel of Change. And I even think that through this radio ministry, more and more people are going to show up. They're just going to pop up. We believe that every person who walks through this door is a gift from God to us. We celebrate the gifts of God. We celebrate the gifts of God. And it's interesting because even though God is sending more and more people and our church is growing, we're not watering down the word. We're not watering down the word. We open up God's word to submit to it, whether it's easy or whether it's hard. You don't have to compromise God's word. And so we're grateful that God is sending people to us, but I want to remind us, we study God's word to be formed by it. We study God's word to be empowered by it. How many know we need fresh spiritual strength? You can't live today off last year's faith. You can't live today off last year's strength. It seems like there's just new devils every day that just pop up. And this world has a way of draining us. So we come to worship the Lord. We come to pray. We come to fellowship. But as we study God's word, he empowers us. He strengthens us. Have you ever walked away from church feeling like Superman? Superwoman? Because the word has power in it, has strength in it. And we have been pressing through the series entitled We Are Chapel of Change. And I want to commend y'all for pressing in. We've been studying, and we got a couple more weeks left to go on this particular series. And we're going over our core values. We talked about we are people who worship. We talked about we are people who pray. We are people who serve, and we are people who grow. Today, we're going to study our next core value, which is we are people who send. We are people who send. Someone say send. Now, if you're exploring to be about Chapel of Change, in your exploration, I want to give you a warning. Someone say warning. Warning. It's not too often where you get a warning before you join a church. But I want to give you a warning. We are not a normal church. We are not a common church. Many of us have been forgiven for deep, deep, broken things in our life, and we are grateful for the grace of God. We are grateful for the mercy of God. We are grateful for the third and fourth, and some of y'all are on your fifth chance. We're grateful. We're not a normal church. We're a grateful church. And this causes us to be a little bit radical. Just a little bit. We're not a normal church also because we have a calling to impact the world with the gospel. We have a calling. Chapel of Change has a calling to impact the world with the gospel. You need to understand this because when you join our church, that calling becomes your calling. That calling becomes your calling. Now you begin to live for something that is bigger than just you. Bigger than just your zip code. And it's a very powerful thing to live for something that is bigger than us individually. For us to be a sending church. For us to be a sending church, we have to have a certain convictions. We have to have certain convictions to fulfill our calling. It's very, very important for us to be this sending church. So what do I mean? Like when I say we are a sending church, what do I mean when I say we are people who send? Well, chiefly, it means that we prioritize empowering believers to be sent into the communities, into the cities, into the nations to declare and demonstrate the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to understand this. What do I mean when I say we are people who send? It means that we prioritize empowering believers to be sent into their homes, into their communities, into their cities, into their nation, and yea, even other nations, to impact this world with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to be a church that declares and demonstrates the power of God. Declares and demonstrates. Not just talk about it, but be about it. Anybody follow along? So in our church, with this core value, we send disciples out into the communities to make a difference. We send disciples out. We send disciples out periodically to clean parks. We've sent disciples out to this bridge that connects Paramount to Compton, and we painted the bridge a couple years ago. We send disciples out to help ladies or families that cannot do for themselves, and so we may cut their lawn, we may clean their front lawn. In fact, I want to show you a picture of some of the things that we do. We got this picture up. We want to put this picture up. We also send disciples out to help build up other Chapel of Change campuses. So if you don't know already, we're one church in five locations. We have a campus in Paramount. We have a campus in Long Beach, campus in Carson. I was in Whittier last night. We've been averaging over 100 people on Saturday nights worshiping the Lord in the city of Whittier. Come on, somebody. Saturday night? Y'all know where you used to be on a Saturday night? We got over 100 people worshiping the Lord and kids. This is a picture on the far right side of Brother Trey and his wife, Elda. They used to be a part of our church here in Paramount. They were the leaders of our young adults. And about a year ago, they were sent out to the city of Merced to start a work over there. And them and a small group of people went out to the city of Merced, pray for them. They got service tonight at 5 p.m. in the city of Merced. And this is a picture of him leading somebody to the Lord. He could have stayed with us right here. He could have stayed and enjoyed this, you know, this building or whatever, but no, he was sent out for the glory of God, him and his beautiful family. Here's another picture. In a couple weeks, I think in about a week, Pastor Sandy, raise your hand, Pastor Sandy, raise your hand, give it up for Pastor Sandy. Pastor Sandy is going to be flying to the nation of El Salvador. And she's going to be ministering, as she does every year, to approximately 300 kids. And she's going to be declaring and demonstrating the gospel of Jesus Christ. She don't have to go back to El Salvador. It's dangerous in El Salvador. I don't think I'm going to go to El Salvador, but she's willing to go to El Salvador. Dangerous to go to El Salvador. We've got to pray for her. Right? Matter of fact, let's pray for her right now. Amen? Come up here. She's going to be going to El Salvador with a couple people, and we're supporting her. This is the reason why we have the fundraiser after service, and she's going to be going in part to give like 300 kids a birthday celebration. Many of the kids don't know what it means to have a birthday. They're so, so poor. So she's going to represent us in the nation of El Salvador. Just look at a couple documentaries about El Salvador, and we're going to pray really hard right now. Amen. So let's lift up our hands towards Pastor Sandy. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the obedience of our sister here. Oh, Lord God, she has a heart for El Salvador. She has a heart for them kids. We thank you for that. And right now, we just want to pray for her. We pray that this be a prosperous journey. We pray that this mission be fulfilled. We pray that Sandy and her team declare and demonstrate the power of the gospel. We pray that signs and wonders follow her. We pray that those kids feel the love of Jesus, Father God. Lord, we pray, Father God, that you protect her and the team. Lord God, we pray that you protect them, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for their warring angels, their guardian angels, that protecting them, going before them right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we believe that as she comes back, she's going to come back with good reports, Father God. She's going to come back with reports of families receiving fresh hope in the name of Jesus. So Lord God, we pronounce a blessing over her and the team in the name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. So in order to be a sending church, we have to have certain convictions, because it's not easy to be a sending church. It's hard. It's inconvenient. It's filled with tension. You know why it's filled with tension? Because we live in a generation that has fallen in love with comfort and convenience. We live in a generation that has fallen in love with comfort and convenience. It's hard to tell somebody that it's time for them to get up. Oh, I got to preach to myself today, amen? It's hard to tell somebody it's time for you to get out these four walls and make a difference with your life. It's hard to tell somebody that's living in a generation that has fallen in love with comfort and convenience, it's time to sacrifice something for the kingdom of God. It's time to put something at risk for the kingdom of God. We live in a generation that don't just have one in the drive-thru. Now they got three of them. You know why? Because we like convenience. So in order to be a sending church, we have to have certain convictions. And today I just want to outline a couple convictions that we need. And we're going to turn to the book of John chapter 17. If you're able, I want to invite you to stand to your feet for the reading of God's word. If you're able, I want to invite you to stand to our feet. We're going to be looking at briefly today the greatest prayer of Jesus. John chapter 17 captures the greatest prayer of Jesus. We're not going to read the entire prayer. I'm just going to pull out a section and we're going to learn from it today. But I want you to get in your mind that at this time, Jesus is a couple days before his death, and he has his disciples around him, but he turns to heaven and he prays to the Father. And we're going to learn from his words today. Again, I'm jumping into the middle of his prayer that is going to be found in verses 9. Listen to what he says to the Father. He says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me. For they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Look at verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also send them into the world. Notice that. I'm going to read that again. As you sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Let us pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we pray for understanding of your word. Please feed us today. Feed us understanding. Feed us hope. Feed us strength. Feed us power. Feed us faith. In Jesus' name. And everyone says, Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. What convictions do we need to be a sending church? Just want to speak to you briefly today and lay some things at your feet so you can think about. We're using the prayer of Jesus as our springboard for our lesson. And the first thing that I want us to understand is that life is short. Life is short. Now, I want to draw your attention because several times in this one prayer, Jesus mentions that his time on earth is up. Notice what Jesus says. He says in verse 11, "Now I am no longer in the world. I come to you." Speaking about his time is up. In verse 13, listen what he says again. He says, "I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in this world." So, when we study the prayer of Jesus, and yea, when we study the life of Jesus, you will learn that he lived with this conviction that his physical life had an expiration date on it. Jesus understood, like you and I must understand, that in this physical body, we are not going to live forever and ever, and that every physical life has an expiration date on it. This is what Jesus knew. This is the conviction that Jesus lived with, and he spoke about this over and over. For example, you don't have to turn there, but listen to what he says in John chapter 7. He says this, "I am with you for only a short time, and then I am going to the one who sent me." So notice, he reveals his conviction again. He turns to his disciples and he says, "Listen, I'm only going to be with you for a short time, and then I'm going back to the Father who sent me." So this is what I want us to get. Jesus lived with the conviction that physical life was brief, that physical life is short. Why is this so important? Why is this so important to remind ourselves of this? Because this conviction helps us to maximize our time on earth. When we live with the conviction that life is fleeting and life is fragile, then we will maximize the time that God has given us while we are on this earth. Over and over again, the Holy Scriptures remind us, the Scriptures bring to our attention over and over again that life is brief, it's fleeting, and it is fragile. For example, in Psalms 90, verse 12, the psalmist says, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Notice what he says, "Lord, teach me. Lord, teach me that my days are numbered, that I may live with wisdom, that I don't waste my time, that I don't waste the moments that you give me." Remember this, time is a gift that God has given you, and what you do with it is your gift back to God. Time is a gift that God has given you. What you do with your time is your gift back to God. James, the brother of Jesus, in chapter 4, he says, "What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." What is he doing? He's reminding us that life is short. What is he doing? He's reminding us that life is fragile. See, this conviction, my brothers and sisters, this conviction empowers us to live and to serve with a sense of urgency. When you live with the conviction that life is short, life is fragile, that life is fleeting, then what it does is it helps us to live with a sense of urgency. Too many Christians are living with a lack of urgency. We're not living with a sense of urgency, and therefore we're spending our precious time dealing with stuff that doesn't even matter compared to eternity. When you don't live with a sense of urgency, you will argue over stuff that really doesn't matter. When you don't live with a sense of urgency, you will spend your precious moments on things that really do not matter. If you don't live with a sense of urgency, you'll waste your precious time here on earth. When you study the Bible and you look at the notable men and women who've done significant things for God, you'll learn that they all lived with a sense of urgency all throughout the Bible. Jesus demonstrated this. Listen to this in John chapter 9. Jesus said, he turned to the disciples, he said, "We must quickly carry out the task assigned by the one who sent us. The night is coming and then no one can work." He said, "We must quickly carry out the task assigned us by the one who sent us." Everybody in here has an assignment from God. Every marriage in here has an assignment from God. Every single person in here has an assignment from God. And we cannot afford to spend our life wasted around on things that really don't matter. We must quickly carry out the task assigned us. Apostle Paul, he lived with a sense of urgency. He said in Ephesians chapter 5, he said, "Be careful then how you live. Not as unwise people, but wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil." Be careful how you live. Not as unwise, but wise. How do we live? Making the most of your time. And if we could be honest, if we could talk like family, my brothers and sisters, most of us are already late to the party. Most of us have already wasted a lot of time. Most of us have already been walking around in circles for 15 years. Took you 30 years to enter into the kingdom of God. And now that you're into the kingdom of God, you don't have time to put your feet up. God has an assignment for you. God has an assignment for me. And we need to understand that earth is just a short stop before heaven or hell. We all need to wake up every morning with this conviction. It will save us from arguing over things that really don't matter. Do you think that you're going to be in your physical body forever? You think this physical life is going to go on forever and ever? Do you think you're going to be in your 20s forever? Just ask the person next to you. Did anybody wake up this morning realizing that January is over? Or did you just go about your day? Anybody know that January just snuck on by? Anybody realize? January's gone. January is gone. It's over. You're never going to get that back. You're never going to get that back. Ever. In fact, you got to start saving up to buy some Christmas gifts. Right now. Right now. Life is short. And if we're ever going to fulfill God's assignment for our life, we have to wake up with that conviction. Number two, someone say number two. We need to understand that God is a sender. God is a sender. I want to call your attention to verse 18. Look how Jesus describes the Father. He says, "As you sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world." So I want you to notice something, that Jesus identifies the Father as a sender. Look how he describes him again. "As you sent me." We need to get a revelation. If we're going to be a sending church, we need to get a revelation that God is a sending God. We already know that he's merciful. We already know that he's loving. We already know that he's compassionate. But do you have a revelation that God is a sender? That if you hang around the presence of God long enough, eventually you're going to get a nudge to do something bigger than yourself. There are many examples of God being a sender in the Bible. For example, God sent Moses to confront Pharaoh and set his people free. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, God says to Moses, "So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." So I want you to notice something, that God didn't just reveal himself to Moses to heal him, but he revealed himself to Moses to send him. Moses had issues. He had anger management problems. He had emotional problems. He was insecure. Moses was insecure. When God reveals himself to Moses, it wasn't just to heal him. It was to send him to set somebody else free. When we get a revelation of God, we also got to get a revelation of God that he is a sender. All throughout the scriptures, you see it. You don't have to turn there, but in Isaiah chapter 6, when the prophet gets a revelation of the glory of God and he sees Jesus sitting on his throne, the prophet Isaiah gets a glimpse. He gets to eavesdrop into the command post of heaven, and he hears the cry of the Father. He hears the cry of God. And what does God say in Isaiah 6 verse 8? He says, "Who shall I send, and who will go for us?" The prophet eavesdrops on the command post of heaven, and he hears the cry of God. You know what the cry of God is? Who will go for us? Who shall I send? I believe God is hovering over LA County. He's looking over the believers and saying, who is brave enough to go for me? Who is brave enough to go for me? In the Gospels, when you study the ministry of Jesus, understand that Jesus' life was the express will of the Father. Everything you've seen Jesus do was the will of the Father being manifested. For Jesus didn't do nothing that his Father didn't tell him to do. Everything Jesus did, he did because he saw his Father do. So when you study the life of Jesus, you are studying the will of the Father for this world. Everybody picking up what I'm putting down? So when you look at the life of Jesus, you will notice that over and over, he sends people out. He sends people out. For example, in Mark chapter 6, verse 7, it says that Jesus called the 12 to him and began to send them out. Two by two, giving them authority over unclean spirits. So again, Jesus doesn't reveal himself to the apostles just to heal them. He reveals himself to the apostles to send them. Luke chapter 10, Jesus turns around and it says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two. Notice that. He sent out the 12, he sends out the 72, and now in Matthew 28, verse 18 and 19, he sends us out. Look what Matthew 28, verse 18 says. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore stay." Therefore stay and watch TV all day long. Right, look at what it says. Therefore, you know what therefore means? Because of this. Because all the power of heaven's backing you up, right? Because of all the power of heaven's backing you up. Because all the power of heaven is backing you up. Go. Someone say go. Someone say go. Someone say go. Go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus sends us out. We serve a sending God, a God that sends his people out to impact the world with the gospel. And I just want to remind, I'm reminding the whole church, every service, I'm reminding everybody that we are all sitting in someone else's sacrifice. The reason why we're here, sitting physically in this building, is because somebody else sacrificed for us to sit here. Somebody made a sacrifice for me to preach behind this pulpit. Somebody made a sacrifice for you to sit in the chairs that you're sitting in. And eventually, after you receive your healing, after you get your restoration, after God begins to move in your life, eventually everybody, if you're going to be a part of Chapel Change, everybody's going to be called upon to make a sacrifice so that someone else could enter into the kingdom of God. Everybody. So that someone else can enter into the kingdom of God. And by the way, the Medal of Honor does not go to the soldier that hangs around the command post. Amen. Goes to the soldier who is on the battlefield and fulfilling his or her mission. Lastly, here's the third one. What type of conviction that we need to be ascending church? Here's the last one. Number three. Our joy is fulfilled in living on mission with Christ. Our joy is fulfilled in living on mission with Christ. Let me call your attention to the words of Jesus. Listen to what he says. He says, But now I come to you, talking to the Father, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled. Someone say fulfilled. I want you to notice, he doesn't just say that they may have my joy. He doesn't just say that. He says that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Notice that word fulfilled, because it's very important. It implies that there are levels to the joy that you have available to you. There are levels to joy. I taught the church a couple months ago that there are levels in the kingdom of God. That God doesn't want you to spend your life on the first floor of the kingdom. That once you've explored the first floor of the kingdom, you need to find the elevator and go to the next level in the kingdom of God, right? There's also levels to the joy that you could experience. Listen to the same verse in the NIV version. Listen to this. So that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Psalm 16:11 talks about the fullness of joy. The fullness of joy. There are levels to the joy that is available to you. You know what Jesus wants for you? Jesus wants you to experience the highest level of joy in this world. He wants you to experience the highest level of joy. But the problem is, my brothers and sisters, too many of us live for self. The problem is too many of us are chasing after the wrong things. We're chasing after the next vacation, the next purchase, the next party, the next promotion to give us a sense of joy. When all along, Jesus connects our joy to his mission. He connects our joy to his mission. In other words, my brothers and sisters, the supreme joy of a Christian is found when we live on mission with Jesus Christ. As we go, not as we stay. As we go, not as we stay. Our highest joy comes when we live on mission with Christ. You know why? Do you know why we experience new levels of joy when we live on mission for Christ? You know why? One of the main reasons is because God begins to use your life to ignite miracles in someone else's life. God begins to use your life to ignite miracles in someone else's life. And there is joy in that. There is joy when you can think about your life and say, man, I was on the verge of giving up. My marriage was on the rocks, but now God is using my marriage to encourage other people to stay together. There's joy when we live on mission with Christ. Indestructible joy. Indestructible joy that is available to you. Not as we sit, but as we live on mission for Christ. Many of you know that I play basketball in the local park twice a week. I go into the park, and even a couple brothers with us, we go into the park, and we play basketball with the young guys from the community, and some of them, many of them don't know the Lord. Some of them are gang members, and it's our way of staying connected to the community. It's our one way that we stay connected. Instead of falling in love with the four walls of the church, we go out into the community. And we get many opportunities for God to use us in that space. One time, a young gang member came up to one of the brothers and pulled him to the side and confided in him and said, I just got my girlfriend pregnant and we don't know what to do. We're thinking about having an abortion. He pulled a brother to the side, a Christian brother to the side, and said, I got my girlfriend pregnant. We don't know what to do. We're thinking about abortion. And right there in the park, we had the opportunity to discourage him from doing that. We had the opportunity to discourage him from doing that. And let me tell you something. There's joy in that. There's joy in allowing God to use your life to ignite miracles in someone else's life. Indestructible joy that is available. One of the things that our church does on a monthly basis is we have, believe it or not, we have Free Taco Tuesday. Free Taco Tuesday. I know it's crazy. You probably, well, what type of church does Free Taco Tuesday? That's crazy. We actually have Free Taco Tuesday. We're out on the parking lot in the street, and we give away tacos and prayer. Tacos and prayer. And I've had the opportunity to travel across the nation these last couple years. And one thing I learned, no matter where I'm at, tacos always pop up. I mean, I was on a mountain one time. There was no lights, but there was a taco stand. And wherever there's tacos, there's people. And look at this. We have an opportunity right here on the street to pray for people that are going through hell and high water. And I want to let you know there's joy in that. There's indestructible joy. There's high levels of joy when we live on mission for Jesus. What type of church gives away free taco and prayer? That's crazy. Some of y'all know that last year we had, we got this, a blessing to buy a ministry truck. We actually bought a ministry truck. It's parked out in the parking lot. I'm going to show this picture. And the side of the ministry truck goes down. And we actually have a team that goes to the high schools and even the skate parks, and we declare and demonstrate the gospel to all the local teens. Oh, and they come up to the truck, and there's more pictures that I could have shown where we're praying for people, we're leading people to the Lord right there on the street. And I want to just show you this picture. This is a picture of one of the mothers of our church, Sister Jan, right here. And every day or every Sunday she comes to church and she has like a cane and she slumped over, but right here she's leading somebody to the Lord right here. I'm telling you, there's joy in that right there. I'm telling you, there's a miracle in that right there. There's a miracle you could have that you will not have no other place. There's joy right there where you will not have no other place. It's only when you live on mission for Christ and risk your comfort and your convenience will then you allow God to use your life to ignite miracles in somebody else's life. I'm telling you right now, this young man ain't never going to forget that moment. He ain't never going to forget that moment. When this young man is serving the Lord and he begins to testify, he's going to testify that one day I was walking back from high school and this elderly lady stopped me and she laid hands on me in the name of Jesus. And I want to just honor Sister Jan. Raise your hand, Sister Jan. Raise your hand. Raise your hand, Sister Jan. I'm telling you, there's joy. There's joy. Our highest levels of joy come when we are willing to risk our convenience and our comfort to live on mission for Christ. And I'm going to tell you something else. New levels of healing come to those who are willing to live on mission for Christ. New levels of healing come to those who say, Lord, I may not have it all together, but I'm going to obey you and I'm going to step out in faith. And I want you to use what I got right now, even though if it's a couple broken pieces, I want you to use my life right now for your glory. New levels of healing, new levels of joy, new levels of supernatural power. So my brothers and sisters, as we press into the new year, as we pray together, as we fellowship together, as we contemplate what it means to be a sending church, remember this, we got to live with the conviction that life is short. We don't have enough time. We don't have a lot of time. We got to maximize the time that God has given us. We got to remember that God is a sending God. We got to be able to see that God sends his people out. And thirdly, we got to remember that our highest levels of joy come when we live on mission for Christ. Are you stuck on the bottom floor of the kingdom? Are you stuck in the basement of the kingdom? It's all good. Praise the Lord. You're in the basement. You're in there. But let me tell you, there's new levels of joy for you. There's new levels of power for you. Let us bow our heads in the presence of the Lord. While every head is bowed and every eye closed, as the worship team comes back up, this is an important part of our time together. Let us bow our heads and reflect upon the word of the Lord. God is not done talking to us. He's not got done moving in our hearts. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as everybody remains seated, let us reflect upon the word of the Lord. What was it that God was trying to get across to you? Let us bow our heads and our hearts. Reflect upon the word of the Lord. Father God, we thank you for speaking to us this afternoon. Lord, help us to live with the conviction that life is brief. Help us to live with the conviction that life is fragile, so that we do not waste our time. Lord, help us to get a vision of you as a sender, so that when we feel them nudges to step out, we know that's you. When we feel them nudges to risk something, we know that's you. When we feel them nudges to sacrifice our comfort and convenience, we know that's you. Give us a vision, Lord, that you are a sender, Lord God. And lastly, Lord, help us. Help us to experience the next level of joy for our life. There's a next level of joy, Father, that you have for us. Help us to experience it. Help us to walk in the fullness of joy that the scripture talks about. Help us to experience the full measure of joy that your word speaks about, Lord God. If there's a full measure, Lord, we want it. If you said we could have it, we want it, Lord God. We don't want to be short cut, Lord God. But we want to experience all that you have for us. Help us. We ask for help. We love you, Father, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Praise God.